Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing in his presence, when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
1 John 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We want to continue to explore these specifics of growing up into Christ in all things. We have seen a number of those specific things wherein we must grow. In the last few weeks, our subject today is that we must grow in knowledge. We will never grow up into Christ in all things unless we grow in knowledge. Peter describes it this way, as we have seen before, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so just the basic knowledge, just the knowledge, so to speak, of milk in the Scripture does indeed bring forth growth. Then here in our text, John lists three more stages of growth, and a knowledge runs like a thread through all of these things. You will notice here in verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. And that's really the only knowledge that a newborn babe in Christ has. He knows that his sins are forgiven. I have had the opportunity to lead some to the Lord over the years. And I have simply asked them then, just as a matter of confirmation, where will you go after you die? And the immediate answer, without any hesitation, is in heaven. They know at the moment their sins have been forgiven, and they are, and they have a place in glory. Then, as the Apostle John says to these people here, he says, "I write unto you, young men, because you," this is in verse 13, "I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." But then notice in verse 14, "I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong," and notice, "the word of God abideth in you." It was the knowledge. There is growth in this. There is a matter of knowing why they are able to overcome the wicked one. It's because of the knowledge of the word of God. They have become strong through such knowledge. And then, as we read again in verse 13, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." Verse 14, "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." What I want to notice here is that on this highest pinnacle of growth, the message is still the same. And the message is this: we never get to the point where we exhaust the knowledge of him that was from the beginning. As long as we are in this world, we must be learning. We have said it again and again that we will continue to have revelations of truth until God takes us out of this world. We never reach that place where we have know it all and we've learned it all. Learn him that is from the beginning, and that knowledge is inexhaustible. And so we find that it is the knowledge that is so important in our spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul enlarges also on this matter of growth. We'll not turn there, but Paul mentions it in Galatians 4. And he says, "The heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant. But he's under tutors or teachers and governors until the time appointed of the father." The object here is that the child must learn. This is the teaching Paul has there in Galatians. As long as those Galatians were under the law, they could not learn. They were bound. They would stay in a state of babyhood. In order to grow into sonship, as he speaks in that same chapter, they must come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the law. And this is the whole burden of that book of Galatians. Ephesians 4, we find the same thing. This is where this series started. And you remember in chapter 4 of Ephesians where Paul listed the officers in the church, that is the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. All of them have one thing in common. That is to give out, to exhort, to have an exposition of the word of God. And the reason? That we henceforth be no more children. Men will never grow out of any stage that they're in unless they have the knowledge of the word of God. And so Paul says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's what we have in the church today. The doctrines that are out there are absolutely legion. They are contradictory. They are conflicting with one another. And much of the church is tossed to and fro. They don't know what to believe. And the reason is because they have not been taught truth. They don't have the knowledge whereby they might grow out of that stage of simply being children, and they are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Paul goes on to tell the remedy of that: speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things. Only truth can accomplish that glorious result of bringing us out of a state of babyhood, of infancy, and on into sonship, indeed into young men, and then to fathers. Well, John, of course, again tells us this repetition concerning the fathers, telling us that this is the highest pinnacle. And so the admonition of that, the lesson in that, is these fathers simply continue to learn. The Apostle Paul enlarges on this growth experience and this pattern. Let us turn to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. And in verse 1, he says it very plainly. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. The Corinthians had never grown, become out of the stage of babyhood. And the reason, as we'll find out, because they did not feed on the meat or the deep things of God. They never did grow out of that stage. There are three major categories of all people. Every person that has ever been born into this world, or every person that ever will be born into this world, fits into one of these categories. The first one, if you'll back up to verse 14 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, we read, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. This is where every person is born. We are all born in the natural. And notice the traits and the characteristics of this natural realm. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. That has to change. And the way of change is the new birth. In John 3, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it always will be. That which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit, and it always will be. And so, the natural, every one of us born into the natural, must experience the new birth, whereby we are born into the spiritual realm. But then Paul tells us in verse 1 of chapter 3, brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual. The second category we read of here is the spiritual. It means a person who is born of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. But Paul couldn't say that of the Corinthians, so he had to introduce another category and coin a new word. And so he says, I had to speak unto you as carnal. The word means fleshly, and it means a Christian who is born of the Spirit, but he's walking after the flesh. That is who the Corinthians were. And you will notice the characteristics of this carnal condition. It's the same as being a babe or an infant in Christ. And so Paul says you are babes in Christ. Therefore, in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Remember, Peter says, you are to take the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But they didn't even do that. They were still in that babyhood stage. I wonder about many Christians today. Many of them know that their sins are forgiven, as we find there in John. But I fear that many Christians in Christendom in our day have never had the revelation that God is even their Father. They haven't grown anyway, haven't grown in any manner. And so Paul says here, I fed you with milk, but they certainly had not gotten to the place where they could take the meat of the Word of God. And he says, I fed you with milk and not with meat hitherto. Up to this time, we don't know how long a time that was. 6 months, a year, 2 years, who knows? But hitherto, since he had started that assembly, hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. Now I want to make a distinction here. Because Paul presented the fullness of the gospel to the Corinthians. There is bridal truth in the book of Corinthians. There is wonderful messages, deep messages in these two books of Corinthians. But Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Means this. The truth can be there, but no preacher can force feed a person to take it. No one can choke it down them. And so Paul says, I fed you with milk, but not with meat. You wouldn't take it. It's the choice of every individual to receive the depths. It's the choice of every individual to receive the deep knowledge of the Word of God that is given out. And so I've fed you with milk, not with meat, because you wasn't able to bear it. And then verse 3 tells us the characteristics, more characteristics, of a carnal person. We see it in Christendom throughout the world today. Notice, you're carnal. There is among you envy, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? You see, they were still walking after the natural. They were born of the Spirit, but their outward everyday lives were just as though, and I repeat, as though they were still natural. God doesn't view them as natural, but they were walking as natural men. Paul has that same problem in the Hebrew Christians. Let's turn to the 5th chapter of Hebrews, and we will notice that the apostle addressed these Hebrew Christians. And keep in mind, Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians. Jews who had accepted Christ as their Messiah. But their big problem was they were trying to be righteous through the ways of the law. And as he told the saints in Galatia, if you abide under the law, you are never going to grow out of the babyhood state. That's true of the Hebrew Christians too. And so Paul is trying to exhort his Jewish brethren to come out of this babyhood stage. Verse 12 of this chapter. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Again, we don't know how long a time they had been saved, but Paul had great expectation of them. You ought to have been teachers by now. You should have been leading the charge by now, but you're not. You ought to have been teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Basically, the first principles of the oracles of God include the new birth, being filled with the Spirit, healing for the body. And these have been prevalent down through the years. And it happened. We see it happening there in the book of Acts. These are the first principles. These are the things that were manifested unto them. But Paul says of these Hebrews, you need that someone teach you again the very first principles. Why? Because you need to take them and then use them as a springboard to grow out of this state of infancy and babyhood that you are still in. He says you're become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Exactly the same condition as the Corinthians were in. Simply having milk for a diet, and you cannot grow into being a man of God, so to speak, if you are just feasting on milk. You are still a babe in Christ Jesus. And so we read here, everyone that uses milk in the word of righteousness. They did not grow in knowledge. And notice that they are unskillful then in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. And so these certainly were those who remaining children. Their sins were forgiven, but again, they did not even know about the fatherhood of God as those to whom John wrote. Verse 14. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. Doesn't mean these have arrived, but these really do correspond with the young men that John addressed. Keep in mind, both groups are Jewish. John wrote to the Jews. Here in Hebrews, Paul wrote to the Jews. And he's telling them the same thing. As we read that strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Those to whom John wrote evidently had exercised themselves. He said there in the book of John, he was writing to them, have written unto you because the word of God, you're strong, and the word of God abides in you. In other words, they not only understood it in theory, they had put it into practice in their lives. The word was actually became a part of them. The word abides in you. And the result of that is that they were able to overcome the wicked one. That is not said of these here in the book of Hebrews. They were still unskillful. And so you must come to the place of being of full age. You must, by reason of use, have your senses exercised. Notice, to discern both good and evil. It is only God's word that will enable us to separate the good and the evil in our world. There are many things in today that are listed as religious, and they are just something that you can just hold on and keep, never realizing that they're just as carnal and wicked many times as they can be because they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have a knowledge of God's word, we can discern, we can smell the difference in good and evil. And indeed we must, if we are going to grow up into Christ in all things. We must learn. We have said it again and again and again. We must measure our own conduct by the standard of God's word rather than the standards of society. I am appalled at what a society is doing today and trying to even enact into law. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. It's contrary to the word of God, and we do not have to abide by it. We must not abide by the standards of the world. We must have the knowledge of the word of God in order to discern between good and evil. And that establishes the righteousness in our own lives. We have a wonderful illustration of this growth of knowledge that we have been talking about here. Let us go to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. And Timothy is a beautiful example of how one grew into these various stages that we have spoken of this morning. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 14. This is a key to our lives. But, notice, continue. A person does not become spiritual after one experience. A person does not become full of knowledge after one revelation of truth. This word, continue, indicates a way of life that must be present in my life until the day I am taken out of this world. There are no vacations from it. There are no pauses and interruptions in it. It is a continual process of the same truths that we have seen in the message this morning. And so Paul exhorts Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. It is knowledge which has produced the differences in Timothy's life, and it is the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and him that is from the beginning that will produce the results in our lives, the growth in our lives. And so continue, as we read here, in the things which thou hast learned, which thou hast been assured of. It's not just a passing fancy. It is not a suggestion. It is something Timothy had reinforced in his life. He's been assured of these things over and over and over again, of the things that thou hast been assured of. And then, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We know that as a child, Timothy learned from his mother. He learned from his grandmother. And his source here has to include the Apostle Paul. He was Paul's son in the faith. And Paul had hands-on taught, tutored Timothy. Timothy, remember what I have taught you also. Remember of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15 is more of his source. And from a child thou hast known the scriptures. The child would indicate the child in the natural, but also the child that was born again and continued in these steps of growth that we have seen this morning. Thou hast known from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. We have repeated over and over in various ways, in the way it's expressed in different contexts, but it always goes back to the same way. There will not be any growth in our lives without knowledge of the Word of God. This is why we stress it constantly, not just to fill our heads with all of these theories and knowledge of the Word, but filling our hearts with the depths of truth that are going to change us from glory to glory and from stage of growth to stage of growth. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. They are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture, and it means all Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. And let us understand, it has to stop there. There are many commentaries and there are so many theories and all of these things out there that do not deserve our time to look into them. Let us understand, we cannot study evil as some people try to study into the occult and all of this foolishness. We cannot study those things and grow. The only thing that will produce growth in our lives is God's Word. And so all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He had a purpose and a reason and a power in doing it. And you will notice, it is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, that is, correction, again, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I say again, the only standard of righteousness is God's word, not the opinions of men and the emotional decisions that men would make because of some circumstance in their own life. God's word must be the unalterable standard. This is the only instruction in righteousness. And then verse 7 is the result. Verse 7 is what we are wanting in our experience. That the man of God, rather than being a babe in Christ, let's be a man of God, fully grown up into Christ. The man of God may be perfect or complete. We will never reach that completion, once again, without the knowledge of the Word of God. Truly furnished. It means fully furnished. It means completely furnished. Nothing left out. All the way through. Truly furnished. Unto all good works. That's the only way we will ever achieve the good works that God has ordained that we should walk in them. We must have this knowledge of which we speak in order that we grow into this place. And I emphasize the term again. It is not just walking in and here we're perfect. We grow step by step by step. If you go back to the book of Isaiah, we find out the only way that we get the knowledge of the Word of God is here a little and there a little. And that is the way that we learn God's Word. That's the way the knowledge comes to us. But remember, every time we receive that knowledge of the meat of God's word, it translates into growth, deep, spiritual, eternal, lasting, productive growth in our lives.